Good morning. I sure am thankful to be here this morning. I count it a real honor. I have a thought. I'm going to need the Lord to help me, of course, be able to bring it out the way I feel it. There is a writing here in Mark, the 11th chapter. In the 12th verse, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet." As an aside, my understanding of that reading is there was an expectation that there would be figs. The time, if I understand it right, the time was not yet, was talking about the time of harvesting the figs. And if the fig tree was harvested, it wouldn't have figs on it. But the time wasn't yet, so it should have had figs on it. The expectation of a fig tree is that it has figs on it. And the Lord went to get the figs from the tree. He was hungry, so he went to the fig tree. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. You know, I've always thought it puzzling that the Lord responded this way to a fig tree. Surely there was a lot of trees that didn't bear. I've got a lot of trees at home that don't bear. But this whole reading here had to have been done by God. There was no one that could have understood everything that this reading holds unless he was God. It took God to do this. And so he goes to the fig tree. This wasn't by chance. This was set in order of the Lord for his disciples and for those there that they would see this play out here. He goes to the fig tree to get figs, and there was none on it. So he cursed the fig tree, and his disciples heard it. Oh, that was important in his reading. They were supposed to hear it. That's the whole idea about it. They were supposed to hear it. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went unto the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves." Now, the Lord came and he saw he was hungry, and he went to a fig tree. There was nothing on the fig tree. So he cursed the fig tree. He goes to the house of prayer with anticipation. This is the idea. He went to Jerusalem and he goes to the temple, and the temple was a house of prayer. He went to find fruit in the temple. But he gets to the temple, but there was no fruit in the temple. The whole scenario was set up for the disciples to see and understand this scenario that was going on. There was, in Numbers, 17th chapter of Numbers, a situation to where the priesthood was established in Moses, and there was a little bit in there that says that they come back on the morrow and Moses comes and the rod of Aaron, remember the rod of Aaron? It budded. It established itself, a barren, fruitless rod. It didn't only bud, it blossomed, bloomed, and brought forth almonds. There was fruit. It was an establishment of something. Was God concerned about a rod, or was he trying to say something? He was trying to establish something here, something that's dead and fruitless, and it's kind of like the valley of dry bones. What's this about? There's just dried bones. Can they live again? Thou knowest, Lord. I don't know. Yes, they can. They can live again. Well, here's this scenario. He comes and he doesn't find any fruit on the fig tree. He curses it for the disciples' sake. They hear it. He curses them, so they're going to understand this scenario better and better all the time. And this is the way it goes. My house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it. They were supposed to hear it. They were supposed to hear it. And sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all people were astonished at his doctrine. And when he was come, he went out of the city. And evening was come, he came out of the city. And in the morning, there's a type here of that rod that had bloomed. Here is the reverse. It says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, says unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered, saying to him, have faith in God. This is remarkable to me. Again, only God could have done this whole thing, because he knew he was going to Jerusalem. He knew what he was going to encounter there. That's why the fig tree analogy comes in here at this time. The fig tree didn't come back and said it's dried up completely. From the roots, it's dried up. Isn't it amazing? Amazing idea for us to consider that the nation of Israel was the representation of God through the centuries. Right? I mean, they carried the law, they carried this. They was the ones that should have bore fruit. They was the ones that should have been blooming and blossoming. But here's the illustration. If someone that had been there, that didn't need grafted in, could be cut off, how much more so somebody that's grafted in? Or here's the idea, and this is that he's saying to them, look at this situation. You know, it takes more than just being a church member. I can't help from wondering about these people that set up this system in the temple to make money to do that. How they got there, and if there was even an inkling, if there was anything of truth in there, was there any? How did they respond to this? I mean, how did they get there to this place of this, of being able to do this? Did they just kind of get deceived along the line and say, this is okay to do this, or we can double up here? We can worship God and make a little bucks here too. How did they get to the place that they was at of this? But the Lord come looking for something and he didn't find it. And he cursed it. You know, we need to have more than just a routine. More than just this, that we used to, the church of God is it, and grandpa and grandma, and we're it, and that's it, and that's got to hold, and that's got to be the thing. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. There has to be the budding of the rod. There has to be blossom. There has to be fruit here. Because the ones that was called the children of God, the people of God, that carried the truth of God, that the law was brought through, dropped the ball and they were cursed. And they dried up. And something else had to happen here. And this is what the Lord's illustration was. And when they marveled at it, he says this,
Have faith in God.
Yeah, that's my message today. Have faith in God. Not in an idea. Not in my idea for sure. Not in your idea for sure. Not even in what God has done or what it gives, but in the being of God. In the actual person of God. Have faith in God. In God. You understand what I'm saying? Do we have faith in God? We have faith in a people. We have faith in the church. We have faith. All those is a part. But do we have faith in God? In who He is? Yes, He's all powerful. And we can say, I have faith in the power of God. That's good. But He's more than power. He's wisdom. I want the power of God in my life all the time. I want to be able to say, here's an illustration I read somewhere. Two guys plant trees. Two priests or two religious people. They plant trees. Both of them planted a tree. The one says he plants the tree, then he goes to God and he prays, Lord, you see the tree that I planted? It needs water. And the Lord sent water. It needed rain. And he says to the Lord, Lord, it needs sunshine. And so the Lord brings sunshine to the tree. And at a certain time of season, he says, Lord, you know, this tree needs frost. It needs a freezing. And he dictated it all out. And the God answered his prayer. And he comes out one day and the tree's dead. And he goes to the other guy and says, my tree is dead. How's your trees doing? And here his tree's doing great. He said, what did you do? He said, I planted a tree and committed it to God. Well, God's got power enough to send water if we want water. He's got enough. God's powerful enough to send sunshine when we want sunshine. He can heal you when He needs healed. He can give you finances when you need finances. You can do all of that, but just trusting in that power isn't what we want to do. What if He gave us everything we wanted? Are you wise enough to run your own life? Can you run your own life? Or do we trust God? Do we have faith? Do we have faith in God, who God is and what He's trying to do? Do you believe today that God loves you? Well, surely He does. How dynamic is that? What does that mean? Does that mean that I can be harmed? Does that mean that I can be destroyed? God loves me, doesn't it demand that it makes a difference in my life? Doesn't it change the way I do things if I understand how much God loves me and cares for me? What about the promises of God? Does it matter that God has promised that He'd be with us to the end, even in the world? Does it matter that God's with us as we go? Does it matter? Where's our faith? He said to them, have faith in God. And I've looked at that before and tried to get it in my mind of how it was stated in it. It almost seems like it's a little out of context with the story. And he says, have faith in God. But almost flippant or insignificant in a statement, but it's not. Because the statement doesn't really say what it means in English. In English, it wasn't just have faith in God. It was have the strongest faith in God. Its meaning was is to absolutely believe in the power of God. It meant it was very emphatic what he was saying to them. Have faith in God. What did the priest and the scribes and all, what did they lack for what they was doing? What they was doing in the temple. They had knowledge of who God was. For generations, they knew God, how God responded to evil in the past, didn't they? Didn't they know how God blessed in the past for those that were faithful? Do you think the priests and the scribes knew the commandments and what they were supposed to do in life? For sure they did it. But they did not believe. They didn't believe that God was watching over and seeing them. They didn't have faith in the being of God to think that God just noticed my thoughts. You ever think that? The thoughts that you think? He knows the thoughts that you think. and he knows what you do. It isn't enough to be religious. Have faith in God. Believe that God is able to rule our lives. And the things that he allows to come into our life is not just by happenstance. Jesus knew what was going to happen and why he set the whole fig tree up to start with. To show them, hey, just being a Jew does not cut it. Just being a priest is not going to do it. All the generations that they were the marked people of God and now they're a cursed fig tree. If that's true, and I believe that it is, then where do I stand without faith in God? I need to have faith in God for myself. I need to have faith. You need to have faith in God. Not just for the things that we want, because we all have the things that we want. Lord, rain on my tree. Lord, sunshine on my tree. Lord, do this for me and do that for me and do this for me. But how about the idea that God, I know you know what's best for me. Lord, have your way in my life. Commit myself to the Lord and live for the Lord in a kind of way that he would want me to have faith in him. So all through the New Testament time of Jesus being here, what did he contend with his disciples the most about? Faith. Faith. You don't have faith in God. I mean, they're in a boat, remember, and Jesus is sleeping, and a storm rises up, and they all get completely bent out of shape over the storm that's in there. The Son of God's on the boat. They have seen miracle after miracle. They have known who he was. They're following him religiously, if you say. They're diligently following him. They're on this ship, and now the storm comes up. And they go to him with an accusation that, don't you care? Don't you care that we perish? And his response to them after he, yes, I know God can stop, can calm the storms of life. And he proved it again to him. Goes out and peace be still. And it just laid down. What manner of man is this that can speak to the weather? Can speak to the elements and they obey him. What manner of man is this? And what did he say to him? Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? Have faith in God. This storm belongs to God. This is God's storm. This is God's elements. Is he real or isn't he real? I mean, is God real or is he not? Is God, faith demands of us that we believe that he is. That's a big statement. We must first believe that he is. But that's not enough. Many people believe there has to be a God of something, God somewhere, somebody that did something. But it goes another step, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's active, he's alive, he's working in our lives. He can make the barren place bud. He can make it bud in our lives. We can bear fruit when it seems impossible if we have faith in God. To have a faith in something, though, and I want to reiterate this, Lord, help us to get through. It's not just a faith in an abstract. It's a faith in a being, a person, somebody. I have faith in God. And there's a scripture that talks about how we're to be like little children in faith. Now, I know God doesn't want that widespread. I mean, he doesn't want somebody 62 years old sitting with his leg crossed, coloring books all the time. Or he doesn't want me to throw tantrums. Like, I mean, no, that's what he's talking about. But there's an idea about with a child that has to do with faith. Children believe that mommy and daddy can do anything. They trust in them to do anything. They can take care of this. This is where they run when they have problems. Why? Because they can take care of this. Daddy's always the biggest and strongest, and mom's always the one that cares, and it's always that. And children have this idea that they believe without being prompted. They believe. I've told it here before, but it was a story that was stuck with me so much because my oldest daughter, when she was just wee little, and I fixed a lot of her toys one way or the other. Would put tape on them, tie them, glue them. Some way I'd get her toys, and she had a balloon that popped on her, and when her mom thought she'd be sad about the loss of the balloon, she just said, "Oh, it'll be all right. Daddy will fix it when he comes home." That's the kind that I couldn't fix a balloon. When I went home and her mama said, "You got a big one this time. She's expecting you to fix her balloon." You can't tape them, glue them. You can't wire them. You can't. Well, how do you fix a balloon? I'm going to tell you, God can fix balloons, but that's the kind of faith and confidence that she had in me. She believed Daddy can do anything. This kind of faith can do. God can do anything. But He's also wise enough to know where to do it at. So we need to have faith in God. A strong, active, working faith in God. And this is what it helps. Everything. When somebody says something against me personally, have faith in God. What do you desire? Well, I want them to be slapped down. No. Have faith in God. Our ultimate is that there's a correction to all of us. I need corrected. I need the Lord to help me. I have an expectation the Lord's going to help me. I have an expectation that the needs that I have, if I turn it over to the Lord and have faith in God, He's going to help me with all these things. And He knows when I run into something, I'm always saying, I don't know how to make this work. But God knows how to make it work. God knows how to make this work. Family trouble, maybe nobody has them, but they're... family problems and disruptions and all of those things, and you say, I can't say this, I can't say, I don't know what to do this, I don't do that. But God knows where to send the hornets. God knows where to send the problems. He knows how to send the adversary. He knows how to bring somebody around to those things. Have faith in God. A lot of you here remember, some of you wouldn't, of course, but some of you remember Brother Sammons. Brother Sammons was a man that had faith in God. And he believed, to some people's disappointment, he believed that God would answer his prayers about problems people had. He believed in praying about problems. And when somebody says, this needs fixed, somebody ought to do something about this, let's pray about it. That way I won't be hurting somebody's feelings. God can work it out till we're all okay about it. And he had faith. He believed that. Over and over again, he would establish that. Let's pray about this matter. And many times nothing needed to be said or done. There's times God would lead into, hey, you need to do this or that. But God knew how to do that. And he had faith. Strong faith. A faith in a real live being that can help us in the situations that we have in life. He can help us if we wait for Him and have faith in Him. He can work all these things out in my life. I'm glad that He can, because I don't know how to do them. I've made a lot of mistakes trying to work out stuff and say, well, the further I get down the line, the further off it gets. I should have left that to the Lord to start with. The Lord knows how to do these things. And He knows how to make the bud, the rod bloom again. And the serious thought in this is if the nation of Israel, who were the people of God, became the cursed branch, and where was it going to leave us if we don't follow the Lord and have faith in God? There's another scripture I wanted to look at. It's in Kings. Brings out a certain thought. It's starts the first verse. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it came, and it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelled by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now, this is an interesting scenario again. Here's Elijah the Tishbite. And I would venture to say that he was a man of like passion. I would say that he was no different than we are. He was just a man of like passion. I think that he could possibly have fears, doubts. I think he could maybe even be tempted to whine and murmur a little bit. I think he was a man of like passions, just like we are. And he went to the brook that the Lord told him to go to. He went there, and the ravens was feeding him, and there was a brook there, and it must have been a pretty good situation. Had water to drink. But this says there was no rain, and the brook dried up. At what point do you say, hey, this brook's drying up? at what point do you say in this scenario here, Lord, you forgot something? Lord, I don't know about this plan now. You first get there, if you can picture the scene, I'm taking some liberty. But if you picture the scene, he gets to the camp spot where the Lord sent him to. And he knows it's the right one, because here the raven comes with a Big Mac or whatever he was packing. He brought him food, he brought him flesh and eats, and he brought him the food. And he said, hey, I've got this. Water flowing, the brook's flowing. The brook don't mean a spring. It doesn't mean all water. A brook means it's running. There's the brook rolling, right? And he's there, and he's saying, I got this one because this place is drying up, and there's water here, and it's a good scenario, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I got food coming in. I don't even have to get up. It's like you're kicked back, and here comes the raven every day, and it's a good situation. God's blessing. Ain't God good? Yes, God's good. It's one of the characteristics that we have to have in faith. Have faith in God. He's good. And He's good to you. And He's good to our nation. And He's good to the world. He's good to everybody. God's good. And He's going to continue to be good. But our idea of what God should do and what God knows He should do is different sometimes. And sometimes God will challenge us, do we have faith in God? Not in the peripherals. Do I have faith in God? That might mean that I'll do something that you think's crazy. Right, Abraham? When you put that knife back, there's a lot of people going to say you're crazy. But he had faith in God. And the God that not only was able to give the promise, that's what he said. You made a promise that through Isaac, so if I kill him, you're going to raise him back. Something's going to happen because faith in God, God's real. I can put this in God. So now Elijah's there, fruit's coming, it all looks good. It's a good time to be strong in faith. I'm strong in faith. God's good. But as he's there, the brook starts drying up. Less and less water's running down through. And now, in my mind, you give me the liberties, now it's not running. There's just holes that he's cupping his hand in and getting some water out, and it's getting less and less. And as it gets less and less, now what? Now what? Is God any less good? What do I start to do now? This is the challenges of life, folks. This is where we're challenged. I mean, I can walk along with the Lord when He's turning a few fish and some bread into all this food, and I go along pretty good, saying, "Now that's real good." But that's all over now. I mean, there's times that it's high marks, and then there's times there's low. And where's faith? Where's faith? So the brook's drying up. Now what's my plan? What's my idea here? We could say in our minds sometimes, well, you know, if I had been there and the Lord said a raven come and feed me, and He did for all that time, and that'd be easy. I just believe God. You really think that? The Red Sea split open. And the children of Israel walked through on dry land, and the Egyptians and their chariots and all was held back. And then when they was let through, they drowned it, and God delivered them by a great hand. And it was no time before they turned from that. And that was one of the greatest miracles in the Bible that was literally seen, and they so quickly they turned away. And you don't want to know why? Because they anchored in the miracle and not in the one that sent it. They needed to have faith in God. Not just in the power of some set that they saw or something that they saw, and to say that if that miracle happened once, it'll happen again. It'll happen over and over and over again. Have faith in God. God sends the miracles when God needs to send the miracles. Having faith in God is to have a strong faith in the being of God that doesn't send the miracles. It's to have faith in God in all the situations of life, regardless of what they are. Because God's real. And God has chosen in life sometimes to challenge our faith so we'll know where we're at. Lord, help us to have faith. We live in a very peculiar time, wouldn't you say? I mean, to think of the arguments, and I like to clarify this right off, we are taught by the Lord that He loves everybody, and so should we. We love everybody, and no matter how far somebody's went in sin or how much the devil's taken advantage of them, we love them in their soul, and we want them to be blessed and saved, and our greatest desire is for them. But the devil has warped a lot of this stuff from the transgender and the alternative lifestyle and all this. There is such a move in this world that 50 years ago we wouldn't have hardly expected where the hearts of people have went. So what's our solution in all of it? Where do we go when it looks like the society around us is falling and things are pushing here and there's this distortion and this distortion? Have faith in God. Have faith in the being of God. I think God can do whatever He wants to do. I know God can heal without intervention. But I'm not so high up that I can say that God doesn't choose other things at times. I can't say it. You know why I can't say it? Because He's God and I'm not. That's why. I cannot say that because He's God. And God can do. And God looks at plan A, B, C, and D. He looks at all the way down, and there's things that He sees way beyond what I can see. He can look down and see into the people's life whether they really got it or they don't got it. And I can't see whether you have it or you don't have it. But God sees whether you have it or you don't have it. And God can also see what's working with other people and how we work in their lives. I say have faith in God. Not in a movement, not in a thing, but in God Himself. Have faith in Him to lead and guide your life to where it should go. He'll do it right. He'll always do it right. So the brook's drying up. What's my next step? Well, Lord, I stuck with You. I stuck with You in this right down until there's just a little bit of water left. And now I need another plan. But Lord had another plan for him when the book dried up. He told him, okay, get up and go. I got something for you here now on that.
But how easy it would have been to have looked the week before and say, I can't stay here any longer. What am I going to do when I get the last water out of there? What's going to happen when I look in situations around life? Have faith in God is the answer to these questions. If I have faith in God, so many things I want to change. Honestly, there's so many things that I just wish I could change. And I can't change. But the consolation that I can have is, I can have faith in God. Because God can change the circumstances of life. God can change all of those things. Thinking about Brother Jim White, and you all have heard this story many times, so bear with me, but Brother Jim had a wife that was contrary for many years. Prayed for her salvation for 30 years. And they were greatly contrary. She was greatly contrary. I remember when I first got saved, went over and was talking about Brother Jim's wife. I had said to Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie, I said, I'd like to go visit his wife. Always praying for her and stuff. I'd like to go visit her. And they said, well, that wouldn't be a good idea. She was so contrary. But he prayed for her. He had a God that was real. And he prayed for her, and he prayed for him for 30 years. He prayed for her and prayed for her, and with faith he believed. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. In 30 years before she died, she finally called and said, come on, I want, and she got saved. After all of those years, hanging on to faith, God's the one that can do something about this. She got saved, and according to the testimony, she wonderfully got saved. Everybody knew there was a difference in this woman. She had turned this around after so many years of just sin and bad things and all this and contrary to God in every way. She got saved. Isn't it wonderful to be able to have a confidence in somebody? But you can't leave the brook at 15 years. You can't leave the brook of 20 years. You can't say, it's dried up, there's nothing. You can't leave. God, Lord, leave me where I'm supposed to be. It looks so dry here. It looks so dry. It looks like there's nothing else here. He said to his disciples, with the scene that they had seen up there, them cut off. You don't want to be cut off. You don't want to be the fig tree. You want to bud eternally. Have faith in God. Believe. Believe in God and His goodness, who He is, the character of God. He's powerful. He's all powerful, but He's also all knowing. And where we'll sometimes be puzzled. Are you ever puzzled with Scripture? Are you ever puzzled at why God did something? Said, well, it's hard for me to accept that to the Lord. I don't know why that was. Years ago, there was a guy up our way named Mike Wheeler. He was a case. I don't know if anybody even here even remembers, but he was quite a case. He got saved, and he was in and out type thing. He didn't, but he had a lot of issues. Let's just say that. A lot of issues. And he got sick one time and he said, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord for healing. And he didn't get healed. And he ended up going out with appendicitis. And he ended up going to the hospital and he got his appendicitis dealt with. And he was so discouraged. And I remember what he said to me. He said, I don't understand why God didn't heal me. Said, if God would have healed me, I would have been sealed forever. And I said, brother, you just answered your question. Why would have God wanted to seal you forever? You ain't ready to be sealed. That's just the truth. Lord, I don't have faith in God. What might God do to save me? I hope anything. Lord, help us. What might God, what's in God's toolbox that He might want to pull out on us? That He might want to use on us. What remedy does God have? He's got the universe at His disposal. He can do anything. It's not up to us to choose the remedy. It's up to us to have faith in God. Believe in the Lord's ability to do this.
The best thing that ever happened to Mike Wheeler was is he had to see himself. Not that he was just healed. Healing's just part of the thing. Yes, God can heal. He's healed us so many times miraculously and by the touch of God's hand. I can never deny God's ability to heal. But he looks deeper than the flesh, I'll tell you that. He looks deeper than these bodies to try to heal. And there's times that there's the choice of God is to go deeper and to go through avenues that we can only wonder about. We need to have faith in God and to be able to say, Lord, what are you doing? Help me to know what you're doing. Help me to stay at the brook. Sometimes it looks like it's awfully dry. How is this ever going to work? I've had times where I said, this looks like a total disaster. And the Lord turned it around until I'm amazed at saying, look what God did. When I had given up in my thoughts about this and it can't do anything, God comes in and does something completely different and all that. Our striving should be for faith. Our striving isn't against one another. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But how many times do we wrestle against flesh and blood? But our wrestling isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. It's against spiritual things. We don't wrestle against these things. We shouldn't wrestle against that. What we should have is faith in God, because God's the one that can move these things out of the way. That's the great challenge of life, is to have faith in God. The world wants, I'm not meaning to be critical, but the world's Christian religion for the moment, they want to put on a show. They want to gather people by the entertainments and the show, and it looks big, and it's jumping up and shouting and doing all these things. I sat up at home after one of our messages on the idea of praising God. Praising God is so scriptural. We should praise God. But it isn't artificial, and it isn't drummed up. And I sat up there, and I'll say it here. If I could say one sentence and get everybody in here up jumping and running and around and hollering and praising God, I wouldn't do it. Because it's superficial. We praise God, and it isn't hollering the words praise God. We praise God by the acknowledgement of who He is. God is great, and God is powerful, and God has done wonderful things for us. And we sing the song, What a Mighty God, and all those kind of things. But from a life of faith, to where you can by faith be able to say these things. God has worked in my life. God is able to do that. I don't need the show. I don't want the boom and bang of entertainment. But I need faith. I don't know what I'll face. I'm 62, and I see the changes that's happened in my life and the what's coming. And I need faith. I need to have faith in God is what I need. I need to have faith in God that I can say, Lord, whatever you choose. I can't save myself. You can't. Bring into my life what you would have in my life, because I don't know. If it's a brook drying up, Lord, bring the brook drying up. I want to run from the books drying up. I don't like to be uncomfortable with things. I don't like the possibility of things that don't work and those kind of things. But I'll set it to brook until you choose to either send rain or send me somewhere else or have another plan for me. Hey, let me stay right where you'd have me to be. Over and over, the disciples once was in the ship. Peter had the great privilege of being a man that walked on water. Because he looked to the Lord, he'd done something that was so far beyond what anybody can do. He actually got off a ship and he walked on water. And he was looking at the Lord and he walked on the water. And the illustration is vivid to us, because when the Lord, when he took his eyes off and he started looking at the storms and stuff like that, what faltered? Faith. Faith faltered. He seen himself being destroyed. Jesus is there watching me, but I'm going to be destroyed. The disconnect that happened in Peter's mind right there. Folks, we ain't no different. Don't blame Peter.
We're no different than that. The miracles, the great miracles and what I can do can happen. I've had many a moments where I thought that I could, you know, take on Goliath. I could do anything. Lord, just send me. I'm here. I'm ready to go. Wake up the next morning and don't even know why. I'm so pitiful. Just pitiful. I need the Lord. I need faith. Peter walks out there on the water and he sees the storm and the wind. He starts focusing on that. And before long, he don't have enough faith for anything and he starts to sinking. And you remember the story. The Lord reaches down and picks him up. And he says to him, why did you doubt? What caused you to doubt? Why did you doubt in your faith? God knows every one of us. Folks, listen, faith in God is this recognition. God knows things about me that you'll never know. God knows things about me and ways about me and things that need dealt about me. He knows about them and nobody else does. And most of the time, I don't even know. But God knows. And God knows how to bring the right things in the course of life, to bring into my life, to get me to heaven. To make me what I should be. He knows how to do it. I can look over the course of my life and a lot of things in my life I wouldn't have chose at all. But the Lord chose it. And I even sat completely saying, I remember one time in the honesty of my heart, I said to the Lord, if you take my wife, of course a lot of you know that I lost my first wife. I said, if you take my wife, you're wrong. That's I'm being honest. That's the way I feel, Lord. If you take her, you're wrong. He wasn't wrong. I just couldn't see the picture. I couldn't see the scene. I didn't have no idea about what things was going on. I couldn't see any of it. But faith in God is the God that's able. And he'll choose things sometime. Look through the history of Christianity. He'll see it, God will do things the human mind cannot hardly conceive of and can hardly figure why would the Lord do that. But when the smoke all clears and it's all cleared up, we look and say, great is our God. God did something that was spectacular. So spectacular. He done something that was so great. There was a time where the children of Israel finally came to the time that they fulfilled God's promises to them to cross over the Jordan River and to go into the land of Canaan, which is something he wanted to do for them, but they never had faith enough for it. Do you realize that's what the whole thing was out about? He promised that he would give it to them, but they didn't have faith enough to get it. It was all about faith. And finally, when they was able to go across there and do it, they went to the city of Jericho and they was on their high mark and God had brought them across the river and given us that first battle and they obeyed the Lord and the walls came tumbling down and there was a great victory and thank you Jesus and God's great and all the things that they did and boy, that time they was setting up here now, wasn't they? They was ready to go. Give us the land. We're going to conquer it. We're going to conquer it when the Lord does it that way. Let's go. They come up to Ai. Ai wasn't Jericho. Ai was just Ai, little Ai. Wasn't many up there. Joshua had the attitude, hey, let's just send a few up there. Is there a lesson in this? There's a lesson in this. Let's just send a few up there. Don't trouble all of Israel. Let's just send it first up there. Well, that's all good, Joshua, but how about prayer first? How about you seek God to see how many people you send up there? Seek God to see if you're still right before the battle. See if God's going to be with you in the battle. Because if you'd have done that, God would have said to you, Joshua, no, you can't go up there. There's a problem. You go up there, you're going to get hurt. Nah, we got it made now. We got it made. We're going to go. You know what faith in God does? It puts him in his proper place. Lord, see what I can't see. Winneth our path before us. We don't know how to go. Leave what's proper. Take away what's proper. Lord, I want to have faith in God. To go through this life, I need to have faith in the one that's able to do it. Jesus came to die for us. You believe that? If Jesus died for you, why would he give up on you? It wouldn't hardly be right to Jesus to go all the way to die for you and then say, I don't want you. No, he wants you. And he'll do whatever he takes to be able to get you. And when we have a desire, Lord, help me, that statement means that the Almighty, all-wise God that sees and knows everything has control of my life. Lord, lead me into this. Help me to know what I should do. And give me faith, not just a superficial statement, but a strong, powerful, active belief in the being of God. I don't know what you're thinking right now, but God knows what you're thinking. God knows whether you've even listened today. And I'm not accusing anybody, but maybe the roast beef over there was more appealing. I don't know, but God does. But having faith in God recognizes all of that. You know the failures, the big failures of the Bible? I'm through, about through, but the big failures of the Bible was all a failure of faith. David's whole deal. David, did you not know that the Lord was watching you? Somehow he acted like there was that God wasn't seeing him. Where was God, David, when you done what you done? Don't you know God saw it? God was a man after God's own, David was a man after God's own heart, and yet he done these things as if God couldn't see him. That wasn't faith. Must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that decision. He's God. He's the being of God, and he is what he says he is, and he sees you down to the very marrow of your heart, of the bones. He sees you down to the very thoughts of your heart and the intentions of your heart. He sees those things. This is God. That's the God that we have, that we had faith in. So as Jesus told his disciples with the fig tree, this was his answer. And he went on into prayer. You can read that because that was a part of the reading too. He went in and told them about removing the mountain and all. That was faith. He went ahead and told them. But in this scenario about this with the tree, just as me leaving this thought, faith is what's going to keep us from being that tree that's cursed. At the end, when the Lord says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity," it's going to be because there was no faith. Have faith in God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.